This morning I want to look with you one of Jesus' parables. It's found in Matthew 25, if you want to make your way that way. And it speaks, I believe, about many of the people who hold on to their church membership. Some of them are sitting on the church pews across the world today. They've heard the message of salvation. They know the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming back to get us one day and that we're all going to die. We know that. That's an appointment that we're all going to make. We're all going to die. We don't know when that might be, but we will make that appointment. We won't be early or late. And so it's important that we have trusted Jesus to be our Savior and let Him become Lord of our lives. There are many that are kind of hanging around waiting on a late revelation, hoping that something will happen just before their time comes so they can get ready. But they don't want to get ready too soon because they want to enjoy being in control of their own lives and not allowing Christ to have control of their lives. And so they continue to ignore the message, the warnings, the challenges, the wooing of the Holy Spirit, to completely surrender to what God has called them to do. So as I share this parable with you this morning, it's a parable that Jesus taught, and it tells us what's going to happen to those who are waiting for a better time, waiting for that two-minute warning, if you will. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13, and it tells us also what we have to look forward to if we've heeded the warnings and have made our preparation sure. This is the group that we all ought to strive to be a part of, those who have heeded the warnings, those who have made our preparation sure, and we're ready. So when He comes, we'll be ready to go with Him. We know He's coming. He's already come one time. He came as a baby, born in a manger in Bethlehem. He lived on this earth to set an example for us, to pay for our sin. And He's coming again to take us to be with Him for eternity if we've made our preparation sure. And so we've all heard many, many times over that Jesus is going to come to take His bride, the church, true believers, to be with Him for eternity. And we know it's going to happen one day, but we don't know when that's going to happen. And this parable will tell us something about some of the things that we need to consider concerning Jesus coming back. Again, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. If you'll look there with me for just a few moments. Jesus is speaking. He's teaching. He said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him in the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" So here we see these 10 that Jesus talks about. They're referred to as 10 virgins, in some translations, 10 maidens. But just a reference to give us an idea of what's going to happen for those who are prepared and those who are not prepared. So there were a total of 10 that Jesus refers to here in this parable. Some believe this is maybe church membership, and it could be, but not necessarily. The fact is, these 10 had all heard that the bridegroom was coming. They knew that the bridegroom was coming. That's obvious by their actions. They all had gone to wait for the bridegroom. So they knew that he was coming. The problem appears to be what they believed about what they needed to do to be ready for when the bridegroom came. And that is an ongoing problem today. There are many who have been misled about what's necessary to be ready when Jesus comes back to get us. There are those who teach that, you know, you just need to do the best you can, live a good life, be a good person. And, you know, God loves us all, and we're all going to heaven one day. And that's not all true. God does love us all, but we're not all going to heaven one day. You know, some teach us that, you know, he's not going to send anybody to hell, and that is true. If you go to hell, it's your own choosing, because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, but here, all these that are mentioned knew that the bridegroom was coming. They had heard, they knew, they believed that the bridegroom was coming. The problem was not whether they believed he was coming or not. The problem was their view of what they needed to do to be prepared for when the bridegroom came. And so we see that there were 5 of the virgins that were foolish. They knew that the bridegroom was coming, and they knew what they needed to do to be ready. But they waited until it was too late to get ready. These 5 knew that they needed to have their lamps burning. That was a necessity. They needed that oil to keep those lamps burning. They knew that, but they weren't prepared. They weren't ready. And there are many today who are in the same boat. They know Jesus is coming back to get them, those that are ready. But many think they have plenty of time, you know. I hear people tell me from time to time, well, I've been hearing it all my life, you know. When's he going to come? You know, we got plenty of time. Well, we don't know if we got plenty of time or not. We know that he's coming back, and we don't know when that time's going to come. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be next month or next decade. We don't know when it's going to come. We do know what's going to happen. He's coming to get those who are ready. And so there are a lot of people that, even though they know he's coming, they think there's plenty of time to get ready. As a matter of fact, I've been told many, many times, I know what I need to do, and I plan to do that one day, you know, but not today, you know, indicating that they believe that they have plenty of time to wait to get ready at some later time. And we don't know, you know, they know what they need to do. They're waiting for a better time, waiting until they finish sowing their wild oats, or waiting until they finish doing the things they want to do before they surrender to God's way. And then there are others who are depending on other things to get them to heaven. There are some who are depending on their church membership. There are some who are depending on attending church from time to time to get them into heaven. There are some who just depend on being a good person. You know, hey, I'm a good neighbor. I help my neighbors. I do all these good things. I serve in all these different capacities. And they're depending on their good works to get them to heaven. The Bible tells us that we're not saved by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that nine of you says it's a gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Now we are his workmanship, the next verse says, and we're created to do good works, but it's not those good works that's going to get us to heaven. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, believing that he is in fact the Son of God, that he did in fact come and gave his life to pay for our sins, hanging on that cross. He was buried in a barred tomb. He's not there in that tomb because he rose the third day, defeating death, hell, and the grave, ascended to heaven to make intercession for you and me. He spent time here on this earth after his resurrection, but he's gone and ascended to heaven, and he's coming back again, and he's coming back to get those who have trusted him to be Savior and allowed him to come Lord of their lives. And so we have those that were foolish. We have those today who are still acting foolishly. They're still waiting for a better time. They still think they have plenty of time to get ready, and they're going to get ready one day, but not today. I got time. I've got a lot of things I need to do, I want to do, and I don't have time to do what God wants me to do right now. So I'm waiting. And that's a foolish thing to do. You know, that puts you in that category with those five foolish virgins. And then we have the five who were wise. They knew also that the bridegroom was coming. They also knew what they needed to do to be prepared, and they were prepared. And I'm thankful for those today who are prepared. They've realized the necessity of being ready. They've realized the necessity of accepting Christ as their Savior and allowing him to become Lord of their lives. They've realized the necessity not only of being prepared for when he comes back to get us and takes us to be with him to spend eternity in heaven, and they don't want to miss out on that. They realize the necessity of being ready for that, but they also realize that there are a lot of benefits here and now. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's here and now. And so Jesus' intent for us is to bless us. He wants to bless us here and now, not just when we go to heaven. You know, he wants to pour his blessings out on us now. And many times we deprive ourselves of a lot of blessings and a lot of benefits just simply because we don't surrender to his will. We don't surrender to what he's called us to do. We don't obey his commandments and do those things that he's called us to do. And we miss out on a lot of benefits and a lot of blessings because we just want to do it our way and not his way. You know, a lot of times as parents, we'd like to do a lot of things for our children, and sometimes we're not able to do that because they rebel and they won't do what we've asked them to do. You know, and so because of their rebellion, then our hands are kind of tied. You know, we can't really bless them like we'd like to bless them because they're just not willing to do what we've asked them to do. And the same is true with God, except for the fact that we as physical parents have a lot of limitations on what we can do and how we can bless them. God has no limitations in what he can do to bless you. But he wants to bless you, but he wants you to be obedient to him as well. And so these five wise virgins realized that they needed to be obedient. They needed to be ready for when he came. And they had prepared themselves for that time when the bridegroom was coming. You see, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom because we're the bride, the church is the bride, and he's the groom. And he was the one that they were looking for, the one that they were waiting for. And so these wise knew what they needed to do to be ready. They also knew the danger and disadvantage of waiting, because, you know, there's a danger of waiting too long, and like the five foolish did, there's a disadvantage of missing out on all those blessings that we could have because we're waiting. And so these five we see were ready. And so we have the five foolish and then the five wise. And the Bible says that the bridegroom tarried. He didn't come right away. And we've seen that. I believe Paul, and reading scripture, that Paul actually believed that Jesus was gonna come every morning. When he got up, he really believed that Jesus might come before he went to bed that night. And he lived his life that way. He went to bed each night believing that God may come before the sun rose the next morning. And he lived his life that way to be prepared, to be ready for the bridegroom when he came. And so he's tarrying, and that's what's going on right now. Jesus is tarrying his coming. He's waiting his coming. We don't know exactly how long he's going to keep waiting. Right now he's tarrying. And here in this parable, Jesus talked about the fact that the bridegroom didn't come immediately. He waited, he tarried. And there again, you know, many people think because they've heard all their life that Jesus is coming back and he hadn't come back yet, they think, well, I don't know if he's coming back or not, you know. Well, we do know, if we believe that this is God's word and it is true, and I promise you that it is, Jesus is coming back. He is coming back, and he's coming back to get those who have trusted him to be Savior and allowed him to become Lord of our lives. And so those who have believed that, you know, because he's tarried this long, he's not coming. And there are a lot of others who still believe that they're like these virgins. You know, they've gotten relaxed and they've gone to sleep. In a lot of ways, the church has seemingly been rocked to sleep nowadays. It's not, the church as a whole and does not really function like we believe that Jesus is coming and he could come today. So we got plenty of time to do our thing, and by and large, the great number of the membership of the church is really lax about sharing the gospel with other people because they don't realize the urgency of sharing the gospel with lost people. They don't realize the urgency of genuinely living like there's an urgency, and there is an urgency of being ready and living that life and sharing that with other people. We have opportunities that God gives us to share the gospel with others, and I'm thankful for several of the opportunities, all the opportunities that God has given us today, and this particular body of believers that he has given us to reach this community. But it is also at the same time, it's alarming that we can't as a whole get hold of that and really get involved and get anxious about getting out there and serving and taking advantage of these opportunities that God has given us to reach out to the citizens of this community, especially to our young people. And you know, I'm big on reaching those young people. I'm still a firm believer, and always have been a firm believer, that if you can reach those children, you will be able to reach some of their parents and some of the grandparents. But if you don't reach those children, you're not gonna reach their parents, and you're not gonna reach most of the ones you're gonna reach are those that don't really care about children, you know. And so we have opportunities, and we've several opportunities working with our relationship in the school, and then with our Friday recreation program and all, and it's alarming that we don't have more people that seem to be realize the urgency of reaching these young people. We've got generations of people who have no involvement with church in any way. And they're raising other, more generations who are the same way. And today, there are a lot of people who, not just children, but adults as well, who have had no involvement with church in any way. They don't know anything about, how to dress to come to church. They don't know how to act when they come to church because they hadn't been to church. They've never been taught. They've never, experienced it. And so, by and large, a church, in a lot of ways is like these ten virgins. It's kind of gone to sleep. And, he said there that, those, all ten of them had, gone to sleep. And so, in verse 5, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So they all just got lax and lazy and went to sleep, dropped off. And that's where I believe the church is today. Not just this local body, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. It is not really alive and active and acting like there's a great urgency of sharing Jesus wherever we go, getting out here and serving in the community and letting people know that we care about them, that God cares about them, that Jesus loves them, that He died for them, and we are His hands and feet, His voices that need to be out there loving on these people in our communities, ministering to them when they have needs, and letting them know that time is running out. It's getting closer every day. How close that is, we don't know, but we know it's closer every day to His coming, and we need to be about His business. And so, as we see that all of them dozed off, went to sleep, then it's time for us to hear the warning and to wake up, to trim our lamps and begin to burn brightly again. When those lamps, when they haven't been trimmed, they have to be trimmed from time to time. We need to trim our lamps by getting on our knees before God and confessing our sin and asking Him to give us direction of exactly what we need to do, where we need to be at, what we need to be doing. We need to be getting close to God all the time, every day. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's time today that we wake up, trim our lamps, and begin to let our light shine wherever we go, that we let our light shine before our fellow man, before those that are around us, that we not just tell them how much Jesus loves them, but we show them how much Jesus loves them by our actions, the way we treat them, the way we serve them, the way we help them in their times of need. And so we see that there was a warning sent that the bridegroom's coming, and so they jumped up and trimmed their lamps and they got ready, and the five foolish didn't have any oil. They couldn't burn brightly because they didn't have oil to go in their lamps. And so they began to ask the five wise, for oil to go in their lamps. And they said, no, we can't give it. And, you know, there are a lot of people today who believe that they can get to heaven on mama's coattail because mama's a Christian or because grandma's a Christian. You know, they're depending on getting to heaven because of that. Some people are trying to get there on somebody else's life and somebody else's commitment to Jesus Christ. You can't get it. It's a personal relationship that we must all have. And those five foolish didn't have that personal relationship, and the five wise they can share Jesus with them. They can tell them how to get ready, and they did. But it was too late for them to get ready then, see? And that's the problem now. We need to be telling people while there's still time and not waiting until it's too late. And so when the bridegroom came, then we see what's going to happen. It's a picture of what's going to happen when Jesus comes. Those that were ready were invited in. Those five that were wise, that had oil in their lamps, that had their lights burning brightly. And Jesus said, welcome in. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to that one day when Jesus comes back to get his church. I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. There's another option in those that were not prepared. The foolish virgins heard the rest of the stories, Paul Harvey would say, because they were not prepared. And they heard those dreaded words that he spoke. It's recorded in Matthew 25, verse 41, the last part of verse 41, where he said, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, depart from me, I never knew you. He mentioned that in this verse that we just read. He said, you know, I don't know you. And that's what a lot of people are going to hear. Verse number 12, he said, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. There are a lot of people that are going to hear those words. I don't know you. You never trusted me to be Savior. You never became a child of the King, a child of God, because you didn't trust the gift of salvation. You never received that. And so you're going to be eternally separated from God in that place of torment, that place called hell. And I trust none of us are going to be in that group. We're all going to be wise enough to trust Jesus to be our Savior. And I pray that we have already done that. But if not, it's not too late yet. But it may be too late any minute, because Jesus could come back at any time. So here in this parable, we see a picture of what's going to happen when Jesus returns. We know that he's coming because he's promised us that he's coming. He's coming back to get those who have trusted him to be Savior and allowed him to come Lord of their lives. He's coming, and he's coming like a thief in the night. We find over in Luke, he talks about that time when he comes like a thief in the night. He said, you know, if the goodman of the house had known what time the thief was coming, or if the owner of the house had known when the thief was coming, he'd have been ready and waiting for him, and he would not have allowed him his goods to be stolen. Okay? And Jesus is coming like that, and we've got to be ready and waiting when he comes so that we can go with him and not be left behind. There are going to be so many that are going to be left behind. And so back over Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 through 23, Jesus again says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, those who have never trusted him to be Savior and allowed him to become Lord of their life. Those who have trying to get there in some other way. You remember, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in verse 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. He didn't even say I'm the best way. He said, I am the way, the only way. And the only way to be ready, the only way to be saved, the only way to be ready when Jesus comes to get his church is to trust Jesus to be your Savior and allow Him to become Lord of your life and do that before it's too late. There's coming a time, and I believe that time is getting very near. When we read in the Scripture and it tells us what's going to be happening in the last days, you know, men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Have we ever seen a time when that's more evident? You know, we got everything else to do but serve God. That's the reason that our churches are not full, because people have other things that are more important to do than God. We're in the last days, you know. That's just one of the statements, you know. Talking about families, you know, fathers against sons against fathers, mothers against daughters. We've never seen a time when that's more prevalent than it is today. You know, we're in the last days. Jesus could come today. There's no reason why He couldn't come today and get His church. So the important thing is, there are two things that are really important. Number one, that we're ready individually. And then number two, that we're warning other people and trying to make sure that they know that they need to get ready, that it is urgent, that we don't have time to wait around and play around, because when the time comes, it's kind of like the old hide-and-seek game we used to play. Ready or not, here I come. And there's going to be a whole lot of people that are not ready. As a matter of fact, according to the way I understand my Bible, He talks about the two roads, and He says there's one straight and narrow path. Not a whole lot of people on that path, and it leads to eternal life. There's another road that's wide and broad, and there's a whole lot of people on that road that leads to destruction. And so, according to God's Word, there are going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be left behind because they're not ready. They've not made their preparations. They've done it their own way. They've done things like they wanted to do. I preached a funeral one time several years ago, and the family requested the song "I Did It My Way" to be played at that funeral. And I said, "Lord knows if there's any song I don't want played at my funeral, it is that I did it my way." You know, we need to do it His way, okay? Not our way. But the problem is, most people are doing it their way and not His way. We've got time right now. How much time? Don't know. Jesus said, "Be ready, for in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So let's be ready. Father, we love You and thank You. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Your blessings, God. I thank You for Your Word, for the Gospel. Lord, You warn us over and over and over and over again to be ready. Lord, You've told us exactly what we have to do to be prepared, to be ready, to trust Jesus, Your Son, our Savior, to trust what He did for us when He came and He set an example for us living here on this earth, and then He gave His life hanging on a cross to pay for our sins, and was buried and resurrected the third day, seated at the right hand of God the Father today. And if we just believe and trust Him and what He's done, You said You'd forgive us of our sin, that You'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that You give us life, eternal life. And that we can look forward to all the benefits and the blessings that You have to pour out on us here and now on this earth. And then when this life is over, whether we live until Jesus returns to take His church, or whether we go another way earlier than that, death is coming for each and every one of us. And we must be prepared for that time. Otherwise, we will be eternally separated from You in a place called hell. No one wants to go there, but a whole lot of people are making preparations to spend their eternity there. Lord, help us to warn people, Lord, to love on people, to encourage people, to set that example before people that they can see Christ in us, that we'll let our light shine so others it'll see our good works and glorify not us, but our Father which is in heaven. Lord, if there's one here today who's not ready, Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit speak to their hearts, that before we leave here, they will make that choice, that decision to trust Jesus Christ. Lord, if there are other needs, we know that you're here to meet those needs. And you will meet those needs if we'll just surrender them to you. So, Lord, I pray you speak to hearts right now. Help us, Lord, not to quench the Spirit, not to reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit, but to be completely and totally obedient to you this morning. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. The music is playing. The song is Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. O Lamb of God, I come. If you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, it's not too late yet, but it may be too late before you walk out of this building. Are you ready? If you came today, do you know that you know that you know that you're going to be ready to meet Him? If not, then you need to make sure you get ready. If there's anything between you and the Lord that's not according to His will, then surrender it to Him. If there are other needs, I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. I'll certainly pray with you.